from cover to cover. But especially as we learn to follow this book of Proverbs, I pray you'll help us for these next couple of months to really be able to take in wisdom teaching, to learn from it, and as we'll talk about today, be wise in the way that we live. So Father, we commit these next couple of months to you, but particularly commit today to you now as we open up the book of Proverbs. Please teach us to be wise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a question for you. How often do you need God's wisdom? How often do you need God's wisdom? I'm going to guess that there's a theoretical answer that we give, and then there's a real answer that we would give. The theoretical one is, well, Dan, I need God's wisdom every day. I mean, you know, we would want to be honest, we need his wisdom every day. But realistically, let's be honest. Sometimes we don't really think about God's wisdom until I'm in something over my head, and then I'm calling out to him for that wisdom, right? And so sometimes we're not aware of that need on a daily basis. But certainly we know that God's word has so much to offer us in the way of wisdom. Now, I can't totally get out of the book of Luke yet. There are a couple of verses I would like to just read in introduction to this series on wisdom from Luke 2. Luke 2 verse 40 tells us this, and the child, speaking of Jesus, continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The idea there when he was increasing in wisdom is that wisdom was present in him, but it was passing. It says that he was given wisdom. It's interesting, other places in Scripture tell us that God gives certain people wisdom. But then also later in this book, in this chapter, I should say, Luke 2:52, it says, and he went down with them. This is after the time in the temple. He went down with them, speaking of his parents, and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And then goes on in verse 52, it says, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. And increasing in wisdom there, this is a sense in which he is actually actively involved in the wisdom process, and it's growing, it's increasing. So I find it interesting that even in the life of Jesus, in Luke 2, we're told that he received it, it was present in his life, and yet as he was going through, he was continuing to grow in it. And I find that very interesting as we approach the idea of wisdom and the topic of that ourselves. In the next 8 weeks, my prayer is that God will help us grow in wisdom, to be wise people. And the topic of, I should say, the overall series is called Words of Wisdom. We're going to be basing it out of the book of Proverbs. And we'll be taking a topic each week. This week's topic, though, on Words of Wisdom is wisdom itself. We're going to consider wisdom with each other this morning. Now, when we talk about wisdom and we talk about the book of Proverbs, let's just talk briefly about the book of Proverbs. It's one of the books of wisdom literature. We say the wisdom literature begins Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Those five books are what we call the wisdom literature in the Bible. And so this book in particular, Proverbs, is known as a book of practical theology. Now, if the book of Psalms is a book where it's talking about a relationship with God, and the Psalms really direct our attention to God, almost like prayers or songs to God, the book of Proverbs is really talking about how we relate to one another, to people, to each other. And that's really sort of the focus of this book. Someone has said that Proverbs are short, pithy statements. Now, we get the short part, right? But someone's going, okay, Dan, tell me what pithy means. Right? Anybody have that question, what does pithy mean? It has the idea of it's substantial, or it has substance to it, but it's really said briefly. And so Proverbs has some terse, that means very brief, but substantive statements. You're not going to find a lot of words wasted in Proverbs. It's usually to the point. It's usually pretty powerful. Sometimes it's given in the sense of a parable, some type of a metaphor, or sometimes it's actually something we can visualize as we're thinking about some type of spiritual truth. The book of Proverbs will be that for us. It's poetic. That means that sometimes the intensity of these Proverbs can really get our attention because we can relate to them. Right? Even today, in our times, what we call our modern times, we can relate to these statements. They make sense to us. And so it catches our attention, maybe even stirs our emotion a little bit. Sometimes the details aren't nearly as laid out or as detailed as we might say in the book of Leviticus, when it's talking about all the offerings that are to be given. Or maybe like in the book of Romans, where Paul's talking about our justification. It really goes into a lot of detail. Sometimes that's not what Proverbs is like. It's more general statements, not nearly as filled in as those two types of books that I just mentioned. So it is a little different in that way. We just need to keep that in mind as we work through this together. But it's a fascinating book. And really, I just have a series of some questions that we want to answer as we talk on the topic of wisdom this morning from the book of Proverbs. So here's the first question. You'll see it in your bulletin. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? Let's answer that question right off the bat. What is wisdom? Wisdom has the idea of knowing or learning. It's wit, W-I-T, which has the idea of we know something or we're learning something, but also in parentheses you might put it's learning, but also to be skillful with that knowledge. To be skillful with that knowledge. You see, the Hebrew understanding of wisdom was not that it was something that you knew. It wasn't just an intellectual piece of information, but it also was combined with it the idea of the skill of godly living. Okay, so we want to be really clear about that when we talk about wisdom in the book of Proverbs. This is not just about building an intellectual knowledge more, but it's actually getting that information in our lives and in our minds so that it can actually work its way out in the way that we live our lives. That's the whole emphasis of wisdom literature, or in this case, the book of Proverbs, that would be true. So that's what we mean by wisdom. It's knowledge plus application. It's putting those together. It's important to know how we ought to live, but it's also important to live that out if we're truly wise people. So that's how we might define wisdom. It's our knowledge plus also our application. Let's see how Proverbs ties into wisdom. I just want to reread what Gary read for us earlier, and just listen, if you will, for the connection between these Proverbs and how wisdom comes about. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, and these Proverbs are noticed to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior. Note that, it's not just knowing something, but we would behave, we would act wisely. And it goes on to say, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. So youth, the Bible says youth there. Youth, this series is for all of us, but especially in the introduction of it, it's directed to you. It's to help you learn wisdom. Okay, and this can help you out in school, can help you out at home, can help you out in your future lives. So this is especially for you. But it's for all of us as well. So that's what is wisdom. But let's talk next about the next question. What does Solomon teach us about wisdom? What does Solomon teach us about wisdom? I'm going to give you a disclaimer up front. We're not going to cover everything Solomon says about wisdom today. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because we can make weeks study out of just the topic of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, okay? I'm going to admit to you, we're just scratching the surface with this topic. But we want to at least get a handle on what Solomon says, some of the things Solomon says about wisdom. Well, there are five different things I'd like us just to focus on. We could mention many, but five briefly. Number one, if we're going to be wise, we must listen. We must listen to wisdom. Listen with me, if you would, to verse 5 of chapter 1, where it says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire counsel. Again, if you just follow me to Proverbs chapter 5 verse 1, it says, my son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. Again, there's the call to listen there. And finally, I just would like to say in reference to this point, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8, the wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. The wise of heart will receive commands. We see very clearly, and we could go to many, many, many passages in this book, but wise people listen to wisdom. Wise people listen to wisdom. Now, I know that there's a difference between being here and listening. You know how I know that? Because it's been true of me too. I've had times where I haven't listened as well as I should. So this morning as we're doing this study, we're putting out this information, but I'm just saying, the problem is saying, listen up, hear what we're saying. Okay? And so that's what we're being called to do, is to listen to the words that we'll hear today. So we must listen. The difference between just sound and really focusing. So that's the first thing, we must listen. Secondly, wisdom is pictured as a person calling us into a relationship. Secondly, wisdom is pictured as a person calling us into a relationship. And one writer has said that really this person is like a prophet saying, come to wisdom. Come to wisdom. Come to me. And I'd like to just give you maybe a couple of different places in Proverbs where we see this. If you look at Proverbs 1, actually, in verse 20, it says this, wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts up her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive or simple ones, will you love being simple-minded? The scoffers delight themselves in scoffing and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Though I will pour out my spirit on you, I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand, and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel, and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. It goes on and it talks in that, when we take a look at this reading, the idea is that wisdom is like a person saying, again, I'm not just saying extra knowledge, but come to me. If you come to me, we'll have a relationship that's important. It's a picture we're given that wisdom is a person here that we are to want a close relationship with, and if we neglect that call, we're going to suffer the consequences for it. Another passage I would just point your attention to. There are others in the book, but if you look with me at Proverbs chapter 9, the first few verses of this chapter, actually the first 12, we won't read the whole 12, but I want to again just illustrate that wisdom is like a person calling us into a relationship. It says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come eat of my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. And it goes on and talks further. But the point is, again, wisdom is like a person who's calling out to come to me. You'll benefit from my relationship. But these pictures that we get of the relationship also point out that if we scoff or we say, forget it, we'll pay the price for not being wise people, for not having wisdom be an intimate friend of ours. So that's the second thing that Solomon really shows us, is that wisdom is pictured as a person who's calling us in to relationship. The third thing is this. We need to beware. You need to beware if you consider yourself wise. Beware if you consider yourself wise. Look with me, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. Listen to the words here. Solomon says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Don't be wise in your own eyes, is the call there that Solomon gives us. Now notice, if you will, we don't read Proverbs 3:7 a lot. But I would bet that you either know someone, or maybe you really like these words in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and you've heard it. Go back with me a couple of verses. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Those are great verses, right? Maybe you even memorized those. Maybe you have those written someplace. Those are great verses. And I hear them quoted, and I myself love those verses. But we need to remember that if, again, we don't heed wisdom calling us to do this thing, now we're looking at verse 7, which says, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. In other words, the call is we either heed the Lord's wisdom and not trust in our own heart, or else if we go our own way thinking we've got it handled or we've got it figured out, we're in trouble. So beware if you think that you're wise, you're pretty mature, you're arrived, you're okay. Now, even though we know that this is directed to Solomon's son, when do you think, what age do you think we outgrow the need for not being wise in our own eyes? Do we ever outgrow that? I don't think so. I don't think so. So beware if you consider yourself wise. Here's the fourth thing. Solomon says, acquire wisdom. Own it, if you will. Acquire wisdom with an exclamation mark, or own it. I mean, you don't want this wisdom. This isn't a passive thing here. Listen, if you would, at these verses that talk about this point. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 to 13. Listen to Solomon's words. He says, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear my son and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. You see the intensity that the Proverbs talk about there? I mean, we should want this wisdom. We want to get a hold of it, not let it go. Another passage, Proverbs chapter 16, and verse 16, gives another hint at this idea when it says, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. You see that? To have wisdom is better than gold or silver. Now, let me ask you a question. If you knew in your backyard, under this much soil, that there was gold in your backyard, would you go for it? And there was silver, would you go for it? Yeah, you'd probably really get after it, right? I mean, that cold back there, you'd go after it, and you wouldn't care if you messed up the grass, right? You could fix that. Well, you know what? Your Bible's not this thick, right? We can go that far for wisdom. It's there for the taking, but we've got to go for it. And it's even more valuable to us than the gold, the silver in the backyard. How eager are we to get into this book and see the wisdom of God that's there? And we'll do it in our backyard, but we do it in the Bible to see what His wisdom is. That's a challenge, isn't it? We should want wisdom. We should want to acquire it. We should want to own it. So important. The final thing I'd just like to mention that Solomon, a final thing that I'd like to mention that Solomon talked about is this. A wise servant finds favor with the king. A wise servant finds favor with the king. If you're working for someone and you're wise, the idea is the one who's over you, who is supervising you, you will find favor with them. It's talking about a servant and a king, but that could be applied in our areas of who we work with, in our work situations. But you know what? We're not going to stop there, because Jesus even takes us and applies it. When he talks in Luke 19, I'm not going to turn to verses 12 to 17, about the nobleman who had servants and left those 10 minas with them. And some invested them, and one, you know, and some didn't. And the wise servant was the one who took what his master had given him and made use of it and multiplied it, who saw that what God gave him was increased. And I'll just encourage you with this thought. As believers in Jesus Christ, if we know Him as our Savior, He has given us so much. And you know, what He's wanting of us is He wants us to take what He's given us and to make something of that. And that's wise. That's wise if we do that. If we recognize that, like the parable Jesus gave, we are wise to recognize that our lives are not our own, but we're stewards. We're stewards of God's. And we're accountable for the things that we do, for the actions that we have, for the way that we represent Him. So Solomon just says, a wise servant finds favor with the king. And again, it has a New Testament application there as well, certainly for us. So let's just take a moment. Let's leave what Solomon has to say about wisdom again, so we could spend weeks on this alone. And it's really exciting stuff. But I want us to just change our course a little bit, because interestingly, Jesus had quite a bit to say about wisdom too. And so I'd like to just ask the next question. What does Jesus say about wisdom? What does Jesus say about wisdom? In Matthew 12, verse 42, Jesus is speaking to those who are rejecting Him. The Pharisees and the scribes were rejecting Him. And Jesus is talking about the judgment that the people of that generation would have because they had rejected Him. It says this in Matthew 12:42. The queen of the south will rise up with the generation at the judgment and condemn it, that is the generation he was in, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Remember back in the story of the kings, Solomon had the queen of Sheba come and see him because of the great wisdom she'd heard about. And she brought a great number of gifts to him. And Jesus is saying, listen, this queen, this noble woman, brought these great gifts to Solomon, and someone greater than Solomon is here, and you've rejected me. But Jesus is saying in the statement that Jesus is greater than Solomon. That's what he's saying. Jesus is greater than Solomon himself. It's just a side statement that he makes here, but we need to get that from this passage. He's greater than Solomon. What else does Jesus say about wisdom? In Luke, verse 21 and verse 15, Jesus is speaking to the disciples about the future persecution they were to get. And he says this in Luke 21:15, "For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute." He tells his disciples, and this is what we learn, Jesus would give wisdom to his disciples in times of trial. He would give wisdom to his disciples in times of trial. He's saying, listen, you're going to have tough times coming, and you're going to be taking a trial over me, but I'm going to give you wisdom that those who bring you to trial can't resist. It's a tremendous promise, and I think something that we can take to heart too, that with his word and his Holy Spirit, we too have tremendous resource. He's given us his wisdom. The third thing that Jesus says about wisdom is this: those who hear and act on Jesus' words are wise. Not just those who hear. Those who hear and act on Jesus' words are wise. Now, we're not going to turn there, but if you were to go to Matthew 7:24-27, you would see that he says that as he's speaking to the people in the Sermon on the Mount, that when one hears what he says and acts on it, that truly is wise. Again, how easy it is for us to take in information, but yet it not be reflected or applied or obeyed in our life. But someone who's truly wise hears what Jesus says and does it. Well, here's the fourth thing that Jesus says about wisdom. Very fourth thing. Again, we had to limit these things too. Jesus said in Matthew 10:16, to be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. To be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Now, to set the note of this, or sort of the context for what Jesus is saying here, he opens up this passage by saying that he is going to send them out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, one thing about Proverbs that we know, if we read many of them, is there are a lot of like word pictures. We can read the Proverbs and we can visualize it. We know that Jesus himself is a great giver of Proverbs as well, because he says, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, doesn't that give you a visual image there of what where we are in the world? We're going out amongst those who want to devour us. It's a pretty graphic picture of where we are, where his disciples were, where we are. And he says, in reference to that, because of that, you need to be wise as serpents. You need to be shrewd. You need to be very clever in the way that you respond to people and the way that you carry yourself. You need to be shrewd. You need to be wise as serpents. We know, by the way, that the serpent at the beginning of time with Eve was very shrewd. But he said, wise as serpents, but innocent or as harmless as doves. Now, how unlike that was of Satan in the Garden of Eden, right? He was shrewd, but he was there for the disobedience of God and for the demise of mankind. We're called to be very wise, very clever, very in the way that we do things, but it should never harm others or should disobey God. And so Jesus is giving this as a parable, teaching his disciples how to approach the world that they were about to enter. And I would just say, we too face a world where not everybody's enamored with us either. So we need to keep Jesus' words in mind. The fifth thing about wisdom I would just like to say is this, that Jesus said, is that wisdom is not always applied the same. Number five, wisdom is not always applied the same. And to illustrate that, I'd like to read a portion of Scripture. that Jesus talks about in Matthew 11, verses 16 to 19, where he says this: "But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces who call to the other children and say, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" Jesus goes on to say, "Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." Was John the Baptist a man of God? Absolutely. Was Jesus Christ God in the flesh? Absolutely. And yet the people of that generation ridiculed them both. They didn't recognize, they in the world didn't recognize the wisdom of God that was in their lives. And you know, I would just say that in the same way today, we need to be careful about comparisons of lives. It's very possible that two different believers can have wisdom applied in their lives and it looks differently in their lives. I'm not saying it will ever contradict God's word, but we have to be really careful about playing the comparison game like the people of Jesus' generation did, because they saw two, if you will, men of God, two servants of the Lord God, who were ridiculed because they were different, and yet they were both wise. Their deeds were vindicated because of the wise deeds that they were doing. And we need to recognize that in our own lives too, not to be careful about comparison, and to have grace towards one another, and to realize, to really understand where each other is coming from. That's an important thing. Okay, so what did Jesus say about wisdom? We had some of those items that Jesus spoke about. Now I'd like to move to, what do the apostles say about wisdom? What do the apostles say about wisdom? Number one, the wisdom of God has great depth. The wisdom of God has great depth. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, it says this: "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways." God's wisdom is so deep. That's what Paul tells us in Romans 11:33. Number two, the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world are not the same. Number two, the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world are not the same. Now, we're not going to take time to look at all the passages this morning, but if you went to the first few chapters of 1 Corinthians, you would see that again and again, Paul is highlighting the difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. And believe me, read 1 Corinthians, you'll see it. They're not the same. And we need to understand that very clearly as believers. The third thing that the apostles mention about wisdom is this: God uses the church to make known to the spiritual realm his wisdom. I repeat that. God uses the church to make known to the spiritual realm his wisdom. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10 tells us, "So the manifold," that means the many-faceted, many-faced wisdom of God, many-sided wisdom of God, "might now be made known throughout the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places." This is a thought that whenever I think about this verse, I'm just blown away by the understanding that God is so wise in who he is. And yet he has chosen through the church, through you, and the one sitting next to you, and the one sitting on the other side of the church, through this body and through other church bodies, God is letting the spiritual realm know his wisdom, his many aspects of wisdom, through his church. I think that's a powerful statement. You sometimes think that the children's church that you help out with, is it really a significant work? Hey, the spiritual realm can observe what's going on in children's church. They can see the grace of God at work as you're ministering to those children. You take any other example within the church, whatever you put in your own mind, meaningless service it might be, don't underestimate how God might use that to be showing the spiritual realm the wisdom of his ways through his church. The fourth thing is this: in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:1-3 says this, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery," that is Christ himself, "in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In Christ are in all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We started out this morning talking about Solomon. We end up talking about Jesus, because he is truly the full measure. That's where all the treasures of hidden not wisdom and knowledge are found, in the Lord Jesus. Fifthly and lastly, what the apostles say, James, in James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If any man lacks wisdom, let him do what? Ask. Ask of God. And we're told that he will give generously and without reproach." The Apostle James says, if we lack wisdom, we need to be asking God for it. Well, we've taken some time this morning to answer those above four questions, but let's answer the final question now as we conclude things. And the question is, how can we be wise? How can we be wise? Just want to briefly mention six things to put out there to you this morning. Number one, know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. I think that's the beginning point. Because Jesus' words will tell us that we are sinners, and the only way we can have redemption from that sin is through the person of Jesus Christ. And we need to have that relationship with him. We need to turn from our sin, turn to him, and receive him by faith, understanding that he and he alone can save us from our sin. And then as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, as his children, it's not just enough to hear what he's saying. He wants us to do what he's called us to do. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. That's the first step. It's got to be the beginning point of true wisdom. Secondly, ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Something that I know I need to do in my life even more. Yes, I know there are times when I call him in special times, but I need that wisdom daily. You know, on this account, my wife is a great example to me. Maybe you've asked her this before. I've been around when people have asked her, "How can I pray for you?" And a lot of times she'll say, "You know what, just pray that God gives me the wisdom to know what are the many things I could do today that I should do." And that's just one of her constant prayers. I think it's a wise one. But James says to ask if we need that wisdom. Number three, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. We're told in Colossians 3 that if, as we do that, we're able to teach people and teach them wisdom. Let his word fully and richly dwell within us. You know, I remember I said there's a gold mine in your Bible. Let's dig into it. Let's see the wisdom that God would have us learn. Number four, win souls. Win souls. Proverbs 11:30 tells us that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. In other words, there's life there, as opposed to deadness. And then it goes on to say, he who is wise wins souls. Now I know that in the time Solomon wrote this, he didn't understand the gospel as we do because of the revelation we've been given. But he was saying this, listen, the righteous have this tree of life, there's life in them. And they seek to bring others into that life as well. In the same way, we're told, he says, that those who are wise win souls. Are we aware of others in our life who need the life that God has given us? May we be faithful in sharing that with them. Number five, repent in areas that you know you're in conflict with God's Word. Repent in areas that you know you're in conflict with God's Word. You know, I mentioned earlier that the Hebrew idea of wisdom was not just knowing what was right, but actually skillfully living that out. I would bet, the reason I can say this pretty confidently is because I know this is true in my life too. I would bet that if you were really honest and you thought through what God's Word says and you reflected it through your own life, you would know that there are deficiencies there. You're not living obediently to what He has called us to do. I mean, which one of us can, right? There's only been one sinless one, that was the Lord Jesus. But we need to be aware continually that there are deficiencies in our lives. We need to allow God to work in our lives so that we return from sin in that way and be obedient to Him. Here's the sixth and final thing. I mentioned at the start we've only scratched the surface when it comes to wisdom. So how can I leave you something that will help you still tap into God's wisdom? I want to just give you two suggestions. Number one, consider if you've not done this or if you're not doing this this year, you read a Proverbs a day for a month. If you do that for 31 days, you'll get through the book of Proverbs. Read through a proverb a day. Read through it, and then don't just rush through it, but say, God, what can I learn from this? What are you trying to communicate to my life about how there needs to be, how wisdom needs to grow in me? Take time to read it and reflect on it. Allow the Spirit to show you the shortcomings, to allow Him to help you repent in those areas and to grow into greater wisdom. Oh, that would be one challenge. You might do that. Or it might be that you're coming to the end of a Bible study and you say, what do we do next? Well, guess what? Proverbs would be a great place to go for a Bible study for the summer. Just an idea. Or if you're looking for a personal study to do. If you get it in Corinth and look up wisdom in the book of Proverbs, in the Gospels and the Epistles, I guarantee you, you'll keep busy for a while pouring through those verses. Or maybe you find a study guide you want to go through. That's great. But it's a great way to keep growing in this area of wisdom. Again, we just touched on it this morning. There's so much to learn about how God would have us relate to one another and what it means to be a person of wisdom. This morning we've talked about what is wisdom. We've talked about what does Solomon teach us about wisdom, and what does Jesus say about wisdom, and what do the apostles say? So much about wisdom that we can glean from that. And then we talked about how can we be wise, just some ideas. May God help us grow in wisdom. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we've had today to open your word. We thank you for these words of wisdom that are abundant in the book of Proverbs, but even outside of the book of Proverbs. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to increase in our wisdom as people of God. Father, we recognize this morning that there may be those here who don't know Christ as their Savior. They don't have that beginning point. I pray that you'd be just drawing them to yourself, helping them to desire that tree of life, that aliveness that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, for the rest of us who know you, I would pray that you'll help us through this series to increasingly grow in our wisdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.